is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We have the one and only Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and joining us now, he is our CSU Rams insider. Kevin, I want to get into some football with you, man, but I follow your Twitter. I stalk your Twitter. People are freaked out a little bit on the basketball side of things that they aren't seeing names coming in, whether that's through the portal or whatever. Is their freak out justified or warranted here, or are we okay? Should we calm down?
Yeah, I've seen something, you know, panic, if you will, from fans of, you know, we haven't signed anyone. What's going on? You know, because you have seen some teams, you know, get commits and whatever. The things I would say is, one, it's still very early. I mean, the national championship was, what, like 12 days ago or something like that? So we're barely into the offseason, too. I mean, you still see big names entering the portal now, you know, and Keyshawn Johnson from San Diego State just entered. So, you know, the portal is adding players still. You know, it's not like it's a static thing now. So, no, I don't think, you know, there's no award for who signed the most players earliest. You just need to make sure you sign the right players. You know, so obviously a big, you know, question is, oh, you know, will they get the right players? I can't, you know, I don't have that answer. We don't know that yet. But just because no one is signed isn't necessarily a bad thing, or the roster's doomed or whatever. All the challenges that we knew, you know, are existing. You know, the uncertainty about Isaiah Stevens and what he'll do, you know, talent battles in NIL, all that exists. But it doesn't mean that because it's April 13th and CSU hasn't signed anyone, doesn't mean that the, you know, we're doomed for another bad season next year. So I really don't worry about what a roster looks like until the end of May. So that's my big thing is, you know, yeah, we don't know for sure if they're going to sign all the perfect guys, you know, to get back to NCAA tournament, but just because they haven't done it by April 13th does not mean anything, you know, bad or any, you know, foreboding future.
Kevin, don't you think, too, like, this is going to probably go in the category of a good problem to have. It's like a double-edged sword for the Rams. Last year with David Roddy, you know, he's going to test the waters and see where he stacks up in the NBA. Isaiah Stevens is doing the same thing. And you've talked to coaches, I've talked to coaches, and they kind of say the same thing. It's like, yeah, we wouldn't want it to be the opposite, where we don't have guys with those opportunities. But that being said, it does put us behind the eight ball. Because, you know, those positions are harder to recruit for because, A, you don't know if you're necessarily going to need to fill that position, and, B, stud players aren't looking at it going, yeah, I want to come here and be a backup to Isaiah Stevens, or last year come be a backup to David Roddy. So, it's a good problem to have, but it's still kind of a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, especially, you know, if, you know, for instance, I know CSU was recruiting, you know, a guy like Cam Martin, a big man from Kansas. He was a D2 All-American prior to Kansas. He has 1 year to play. But the uncertainty, you know, if he knew for sure he'd be playing with Isaiah, you know, that would probably make it a little more attractive. But the uncertainty certainly can steer people, you know, to look elsewhere. And he ended up, you know, in Boise, which, you know, is kind of a double whammy. That's a conference rival. But situations like that and the ones you mentioned, of, okay, if Zay goes, you probably need a guard. But what guard can you get to come in if you don't know if Zay is going to be gone? Because, like you say, they'll just come and sit behind Isaiah if he's back. So, yeah, it is some of that. But you also have the ability to point to Isaiah and David Roddy and say, hey, look, we're developing pros every year here. So it's not a bad place to play ball and develop your game. So, yeah, it's just so complicated. There are just so many factors to this. You know, people, you know, I get it as fans. It, you know, it's easy to be reactionary and, you know, after a bad season, you know, kind of have the doom and gloom view, and after a great season, have the, you know, we're the best thing in the world view. But it's always kind of in the middle, and just so many complicated factors right now in play in this recruiting process.
It makes me wonder, too, maybe this isn't possible, but if the NBA and the NCAA could work something out where we don't have to extend. Because when's the deadline, Kevin, for Isaiah to know whether he's going into the draft or not?
Yeah, if he's going to return to school, he has to announce it by May 31st, I believe it is, or June 1st, basically the end of May.
Yeah.
If it drags all the way till then, and that's what it is with David Roddy, because he was such a unique situation, it really does put a college team behind the eight ball, because by then, a lot of those best players are taken, and you don't have that many options. That's why when I say, if you're worrying about a roster in mid-April, it's kind of silly, but at the end of May, that is legit, because that's when most of the players have kind of found their new home. So it does make it really difficult. I don't know the perfect solution other than kind of what you're suggesting, try and move the date up. But the NBA, the NBA doesn't care about college rosters, so they're not going to do that.
Yeah, and that's so frustrating, too, because, for the NBA, if they would think deeper about it, a guy like Isaiah, maybe he's forced to, he takes so long in the decision where he's kind of like, I'm a bubble guy, either or, I could get drafted, I might not, or I go back another year, we'll see. I just think that if you set some of these teams up so they kind of have an idea of what kind of team they're going to be, it would make those players better, their rosters better, therefore yielding a better crop coming into the NBA the following season. So I don't see what the harm would be in moving it back a month or whatever, because that would, to me, a month would change everything as far as these guys that are contemplating whether they go into the draft or not.
Yeah, it would make a big impact, but, the logical answer and the real answer,
yeah.
Unfortunately, of course, aren't going to end up going together, because, like I say, the NBA just doesn't care. They want to go on their timeline, and they, for them, that's all that they really care about, and they clearly seem happy with how it's going. And, in the NBA's defense, in some ways, doing all the pre-draft evals right now as the regular season's ending and the playoffs are starting would be very tough from their end. So, again, this is why all these things are just so complicated. There just is not a 100% easy solution to any of it, whether it's who CSU is recruiting and landing or the timeline, all of it. Just a lot of different factors involved.
It's a complex job being a coach in college sports, and it just keeps getting more complex as we grow this thing. Kevin, I hate that I'm even asking this, because like you said, last year we were riding high. It was Roddy's getting drafted in the first round, Isaiah Stevens is still returning. This team, maybe they're not a tournament team, but they should be, they'll compete in the Mountain West Conference. Is there pressure on Nico Medved next year? Like pressure saying, all right, you don't turn out a good season next year. Are we having deep conversations about the future of his future with Colorado State?
Yeah, I don't think it would be anything like, considering a coaching change or whatever. But if CSU were, how many games do they win this year? 14 or whatever it was. If CSU were to win that again this coming season, it would certainly start to, I don't want to say it turn the fan base, but just lead to a lot more angst and concern about, why this has happened back-to-back years. So, coaches, they're under pressure every year. It's a high-pressure job. It's, as Medved says all the time, it's a results business, and people aren't happy if you don't get the results. So, if another 12, 13, 14 type of season happened, there's no doubt that there would be questions of, okay, you struck gold with Roddy and Stevens, but why can't, why hasn't that sustained? But again, I'll worry more about the likelihood of that type of season in June when I know what the roster looks like.
It's very true. There's still so many questions surrounding this team and what the lineup's going to look like next season. It's just kind of crazy how it goes. We were this time last year, Kevin, we're talking about, can the Rams keep him?
And preseason top 25 if David Roddy was back.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the things. And then, is Medved going to go? Is he going to find a different job? We were having conversations about several coaches in the area about that stuff. And then a season later, it's like, should we be worried about it? It's just the nature of the beast, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. And you mentioned, coaches in the region. Obviously, Linder was in that talk. Yeah. You want to talk about roster reconstruction. I think they've officially signed two guys, but that means they have like eight more spots to go. So, I always kind of chuckle. I get, of course, fans kind of just look at their team, which totally makes sense. But there are a whole lot of teams around college basketball right now that have a lot of work to do.
A lot of teams are scrambling, no question about it. Kevin, you got to see a little scrimmage action over the weekend with Colorado State on the football side. They're knee-deep into their spring football activities, and you put up a story earlier in the week or, a couple days ago, I suppose. But just your takeaways, but also you really focusing in on that offensive line. It seemed like they kind of blew you away.
Yeah, they had a good day, and it was pretty funny, actually. You know, we know how good this defense you know, could be. We know they're going to be pretty solid. We know that Mo Kamara is a really good defensive end. After a scrimmage, he goes, you know, I'm pretty mad. You know, we didn't have a very good day. He goes, you know, we didn't get the pressure that we're used to getting. And, you know, you could tell he was pretty frustrated. And I kind of said, well, Mo, you know, early in the week, you were saying, you know, there's pressure on the offense to step up. So while the defense is frustrated, from the team view, is that kind of a good thing that the offense leaned back on you? And he kind of smiles and kind of gave a, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. He goes, but I still don't want it to happen. I still want to dominate. But that was a good sign that, you know, a defensive end like Mo Kamara was like, oh, man, like we didn't have a great day because they kind of slowed us down. So, you know, like I wrote, it's early spring. Don't get carried away. I'm not saying this is going to be the best offense line in the country. But it was a good early sign in the first, like, super live game type of action. So, yeah, the jury is still out. We won't know really until the actual games happen. But it's good early sign.
Well, and if you're the defense, we're talking pretty highly of this defense. I mean, we've spent a lot of time on the defense. But if you're the defense and you are just flat out dominating and you're blowing past linemen and you're getting, you know, I know they're not hitting Clay, but they're getting to them. They're just annihilating them. Yeah, in the moment, they're probably like, heck yeah, we're having fun. Then when they stop and think about it, they're like, wait a second, that was too freaking easy. Is this how it's going to go again next year? So spring ball is always, I got to think, really weird for coaches and such, because you want your offense to dominate, you want your defense to dominate. There's really no clear-cut winner in this and how you're feeling about each unit going forward.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You definitely want to have a sort of a weird mix of both of them succeeding and both struggling at times. It's kind of quite funny.
Yeah, no, it's weird dynamic, and I know once you get into the fall and everything, things change a little bit. But in spring, you know, it always seems like a coach is probably never going to be happy, because if somebody's succeeding, that means somebody's failing on a regular basis. So we'll see. What else is sticking out to you, though? Are there any players that you're looking at going, hey, watch out for that guy? I've noticed a few things the last couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about the tight ends a little bit, and Saturday's scrimmage kind of reiterated to me that Dallin Holker, the BYU transfer, is going to be a nice player and really open up some of that intermediate passing game for CSU. So that's one that's definitely caught my eye, and obviously is hugely important, because the short passing was good, the deep passing was good, but there really wasn't that intermediate range, and I think Holker is going to be a big key in changing that a little bit.
You keep hearing his name, you know, from you, yep. Especially when we're out there. And I've only been out a couple of times, but you just keep hearing his name and seeing his build and everything. So that, you know, I always follow your stuff. If I'm seeing your tweets, if I'm seeing several articles in the Coloradoan kind of leaning toward this guy, yeah, I'm starting to put two and two together, man. The Rams might have a pretty darn good tight end game next season.
Yeah, he looks good. And then you have, you know, Vince Brown, 6'7" guy, and then Jordan Williams, another one like that. So you have a couple lanky tight ends too that can, you know, kind of maybe be deep seam threats or red zone threats. So you now have some pretty good receiving options in that tight end room.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about it. Kevin, what are you putting together for us, man? I know you were out there today. You had a great mailbag, a lot of questions about various topics related to Colorado State. What are you working on that we can check out?
Yeah, I have a number of pieces come out between now and Saturday's spring game, next Saturday's spring game, sorry. This Saturday I'll have a piece on kind of what you just asked there, some of the players who have really caught the attention during spring ball here so far. I have another piece. There are three true freshmen on the team who enrolled early, high school early, to be on the team for spring here, so I have a piece on them. And they all are kind of making an impact here in spring. And then as we head into spring ball, a little bit more big picture, depth charts, and that type of stuff is coming.
I'm looking forward to it. I always love it when you can kind of get an idea, at least, of what that depth chart might look like. Kevin, appreciate you as always, my friend.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Oh, by the way, you know, the softball thing. I mean, I'm just hearing good things. Just everything I hear is amazing.
I mean, don't want to make too big a deal of it, but, man, we had a doozy of a game Monday night. I believe the final was 31-25, so pretty good pitching and defense. extra inning affair. And I had a nice little 7-for-7.
Wow.
Now, I'll admit, I'm not a power hitter. I'm an on-base percentage guy. But, man, we had some success. It was a fun night at the yard for I don't even know what our team name is, so I can't even say it.
Hey, you just got to get on base, man.
I'd show up, slap it to right field, trot to first base, and try and score.
That's all you can ask. I mean, hey, maybe the Rockies should give you a buzz. I don't know. You know, get on base. That's all they need.
Yeah, I mean, they could use a number of things. So.
Kevin, appreciate you, my man. We'll catch you up with you next week.
Thanks, Dan. I had Tanner on the brain.
Oh, he did it. He did it. He finally did
it. I did the reverse the last time. I had Tanner on the brain because I was going to ask you if Tanner needed some therapy help.
No, Tanner is...
poor guy.
No, he's...
My Twitter feed during Rockies games, it's basically like a therapy session of Tanner just like talking him through these games.
Oh, no question. But you talk to him, and we had a knockdown, drag-out fight today. You know, he doesn't think Nikola Jokic has the dog in him for the Nuggets, yet he swears by Kyle Freeland, and he's the greatest thing ever. And I'm like, dude, Joker's a two-time MVP. VPs in the playoffs regularly, so we had a battle there.
I mean, didn't Tanner think that Chris Bryant was a good signing?
Yes, he did. Bryant had a day off yesterday before the day off, so he got some rest before his rest, so that was exciting. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope Tanner's doing okay, so I just have him on the brain of, like, he worries me during Rockies season.
He worries me a lot, but yeah, especially during Rockies season. Kevin, my man, appreciate you as always. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Bray. Catch you later.
You worried about Tanner? You know, Angel, he's tweeting pretty aggressively. He's frustrated. There's frustration there. You worried? No?
No.
Okay. Dynamite. Dynamite. 52 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.